I want to do a little something different this morning. I want to begin our series this morning on the local church. I've been telling you I wanted to do that for some time now. And as I thought about this, just from Scripture, I realized that when we use the term church, that term in Scripture is used, of course, in a variety of ways. For example, Ephesians 5, Paul says Christ so loved the church that he gave himself up for her. He's talking there about the universal church, the church that exists of all true believers throughout the entire world and throughout all of history, what we sometimes call the universal church, all true believers who have ever been and whoever will be. Scripture also uses that word church to refer to a group of believers in just a large geographic area, a particular region, for example. So Acts 9 talks about the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. It's not one local church, but it's a church in a region. And the church, though, the word church, though, most often in Scripture is used to describe smaller, more easily identifiable groups of people that regularly meet together. So Paul says this in Romans 16, for example, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Also greet the church that's in their house." That's a small local church, a house church. So the word church is used in Scripture to describe the universal church all the way down to the small local church or the large local church, however small or large that local church may be. And the New Testament then gives us some very, very important details about what the local church is to be and how the local church is to function. And I've mentioned to you, as I said earlier, I've mentioned to you several times now that I wanted to do a brief series on the importance of the local church and about the importance of membership in a local church. And my desire to do this series really stemmed from my desire to have a membership class. There's several of you folks in the church who have mentioned some interest in becoming members, and we want you to, Lord willing, to be members of the church here. And so one of the things I really desired to do was to put together a membership class for you all. And as I began to work on that, and as I began to think through what kinds of material I'd want to cover in that class, I began to realize that those are things that we really should all go through together as a church body. And so I spoke with the other elders, with Chuck and with Trey, and we agreed that I would take some time to do this series on Sunday mornings. And so I'll tell you from the outset that this series will be a little bit different than what we're used to on Sunday mornings, because I'm not going to be preaching verse by verse through John, and I'm not going to be preaching verse by verse through any book of the Bible or every book of the Bible in this series. I'll just preach a series of messages from different books. They'll all be books of the Bible, and I will go verse by verse. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to start in Ephesians 1 and preach through Ephesians 4. I'm going to jump right into Ephesians 4, verse 16 at some point in this study, and I'll preach through verse 21, and the next week I'll probably preach in Romans, and I'll jump around a little bit. So that'll be different for you. But I'm excited about this, and I really believe this will be helpful for us all, and it'll give me some chance to cover some different things that I've been wanting to talk about, wanting to preach about. In fact, I was speaking with my former pastor at Twin City Bible Church in Winston-Salem just a week or so ago, and I mentioned to him that I was planning on doing this series, and he immediately said that even though the members there have gone through their membership class at some point, most of their members have gone through their membership class at some point, some of them were there before they had a membership class, he said, even though that's true, that he's also been thinking along these same lines, it would be helpful for all the church body there to go through that membership material again. So, I think this will be helpful for us all. Well, I knew Tom and Carolyn were going to be here this morning, and we wanted to give them time to speak, and so I thought this would be a good Sunday morning just to introduce this series to you. So that's what I'm going to do. This is very much an introduction Sunday and very different from what you're used to. In fact, I feel almost way out on a limb here, and if you come back next week and I'm not here, it may be because the elders will have had enough of me and told me not to come back. But I want to just sort of summarize for you this morning in the time that we have the topics that we'll be looking at together. I want to just kind of give you a feel for what this series will be. First, I want to talk to you about the purposes of the local church. And I really want you to get this. And I know that sounds basic, but it's so critical. I mean, I think you all understand this. Many churches have lost their way right here at this point. They've missed the biblically stated purposes of the local church. And you know this, sadly, in many churches, not here just locally, but all over the country, any place I've ever lived in this country, there's more churches than not that give lip service to some of these things that we're going to be talking about. And many of the churches even were originally established with these purposes in mind, but they've almost unwittingly, it seems, wandered from them. So I believe it's important for us from time to time to come back and sort of gird ourselves up with some of these truths and remind ourselves what the real purposes of a local church are. And so I want to do that in this series. And I'm going to cover some of them briefly this morning, and then I'm going to spend a couple weeks, probably 2 or 3 weeks, talking about some things that I really want you to get your arms around, some of the foundational things. So let me just touch on some of those things briefly, because it's important. Why do we meet together as a local body of Christ? Why do we do that? Why do we have a local church? What does Scripture say about the purposes of a local church? So let's talk about that briefly for a minute, and then we'll expound on that, like I said, in the next few weeks. First of all, Scripture tells us that one purpose of the local church is to assemble together to exalt God in corporate worship. We certainly see that corporate worship going on in the early church. All you have to do is go to Acts 1 and 2. Read Acts 2 today. That's what they were doing, corporate worship, meeting in houses all the time, every day, praising God. Acts 2, verse 47. Psalm 29, verse 2 commands worship. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in holy array. Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul emphasized the importance of the worship in the local church. He writes, "He predestined us to adoption as sons, to the praise of the glory of His grace." So that becomes a very vital purpose of the local church. We gather together to worship the majestic, holy, glorious, one true God. How important is that? We ascribe glory to His name in a culture who outside wants nothing to do with Him. If that were the only purpose, if that were the only purpose of the local church, that alone would be sufficient, wouldn't it? But here's another purpose. We gather together as a local church body to participate in the ordinance of baptism and in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper that are commanded in Scripture. So we participate in the Lord's Supper together to remember very specifically what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us, to atone for our sins so that we could receive forgiveness of our sins, be reconciled to God, and have eternal life. New Christians, or those who have never been baptized before, they come in obedience to the Lord to be baptized, and we hope to have a baptism service soon. And as we witness that baptism, the body witnesses that, we rejoice in that salvation, we share in the life and the new spiritual life of that person. We welcome them to the universal church of true believers and into the local church. So that's a purpose of the local church. We see that again in Acts 2. The early church breaking bread together, the Lord's Supper, and baptisms going on. Here's another purpose, the Great Commission. I've talked about this. I've preached through Matthew 28 within the last year, I believe. But Christ came to seek and save the lost, and his instruction in the Great Commission of Matthew 28 is so crystal clear. A vital purpose of the church is the evangelization of a world that needs salvation. That's why we're here. That's why he left us here. If the world didn't need us here to preach the gospel to them, we could just go to heaven. Now, evangelism is not what we gather for as a local church body on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings, but it is something we are to be about as we scatter. It's something that we are to be about as we're outside the walls of this building. And it's absolutely something that the local church is equipping us to do. So there you have already three purposes. And as I said, I'm not going to focus further on those three in this series. But please understand, those are all very, very important purposes of the local church. Corporate worship, obeying the ordinances, celebrating the ordinances together, participation in the ordinances, and the Great Commission. Very important elements of the local church. And if we forsake any of those, then we're falling short of the biblical purpose of a local church. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Here's another purpose of the local church. The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's the foundational one. You get that right, and everything else flows out of it. Because why? You equip the saints for what? The work of the ministry. If you equip the saints, if we equip the saints, they'll do evangelism. If we equip the saints, they'll worship. So I'm going to focus on that one in this series. In fact, if we have some time, we may focus on it a little bit, even at the end of this sermon here this morning. We may get started in Ephesians 4. But I'll tell you why. I'm convinced that even in churches that truly love the Word of God and teach the Word of God, sometimes this still fades into the background ultimately, and it goes understated. I just mean that I don't think we can say enough or perhaps even understand enough about the importance of this purpose of the local church, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Here's a final purpose of the local church that I'll mention. The local church exists also so that the saints can edify and serve one another through the proper use of their spiritual gifts. That's a huge purpose. You not only come to church to worship and to be taught from Scripture from the front, but you also come to fellowship together and edify one another and serve one another. That's such a huge topic in Paul's epistles. You see it in Romans 12. You see it very, very powerfully in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. You see it in 1 Peter 4. And you see it in all of Paul's epistles. At some point, he talks about unity of the body, serving one another. And so I want to take some time in this series to talk about one of those passages, probably Romans 12. So the local church is a gathering to which you come to be equipped for the work of the ministry. It also puts you together with other believers who will serve you and to whom you are to serve with your own unique spiritual gifts. And that's something I want to impress on all of you, is that you all are called to serve one another with your unique spiritual gifts. If you really even quickly read through the epistles, and you understand what the local church is, I think you'll be thrilled to understand that the local church is meant by God to be a wonderful place for you. And my desire, and I trust your desires as well, is that we grow in obedience to these purposes of the local church here at this church. If we focus on these purposes and improve ourselves in these areas, that will be pleasing to the Lord, and it will make this church better for all of you, and it will make it better for others who the Lord may have for us to serve in this community who will come to this church. So that's the first thing. We'll talk about the purposes of the local church. And I just want to impress this on you. Church is not just a thing to do. And church is not just a really important thing. It's more than that. It's the local church is absolutely vital. And we need to do it well. And we need all of you to help do it well. I'm convinced most people, even most Christians, completely underestimate the purposes and the value of the local church. You need to be here. You need to understand all the purposes of the local church, and you need to actively participate in the purposes of the local church. We all need to do that. We need each other to do that. Well, secondly, in this series, and this will be almost in every message, I want to talk to you about the importance of membership in a local church, hopefully here at this church. Josh, a writer by the name of Josh Harris, a young pastor in Maryland, I believe, he recently wrote a book, fairly recently, I think it's about 10 years old now. He wrote a little book with, really an excellent little book, that he entitled, Stop Dating the Church. The point of that book is that far too many churchgoers are in a long-term dating relationship with a church body, never willing to commit heart and soul to a local church. They never can seem to find a perfect church. Imagine that. But even when they do find a good, solid, biblical church, even then they don't jump in heart and soul. By the way, this isn't so much about membership. That can be true of people whether or not they formally become a member. Certainly, just because someone becomes a member doesn't assure that he or she is all in, heart and soul, into the local church. But Josh Harris did a good job with that book, and I would commend that book to all of you. In fact, you can pick that book up and read it probably in 2 hours, and it's good, about the local church. And let me just say this, by the way, and please understand this. I'm not picking on any of you. I'm not, in my mind, singling anyone out. I'm speaking to all of you, whether you're a member here or not. And I say these things this morning somewhat concerned that I might offend someone. If you were to think I was singling you out, I'm not. I'm not doing that. At the same time, though, I need to speak some of these biblical principles about the local church from the pulpit. And so I do that, trusting that you know my heart in this. But back to the importance of church membership. Let me just give you a working definition of church membership. Church membership is a publicly expressed commitment to unite with an identifiable spiritual body of believers who have joined together geographically for specific, divinely ordained purposes. The purposes we just discussed. Let me say it again. Church membership is a publicly expressed commitment to unite with an identifiable spiritual body of believers who have joined together geographically for a specific, divinely, biblically ordained purpose. And as I said, I know that just becoming a formal member of a local church doesn't magically flip a switch and ensure that you will then forevermore be as committed to the local churches as you should be, and it's the true biblical purposes and to the true biblical purposes of the local church as you should be. But I'm saying this, it's an important first step to take. And I'll say more about membership later. Third, though, in this series, I want us to take a look at what Scripture has to say about biblical leadership, specifically biblical eldership. We need to know, what does Scripture say about elders in the local church? What roles and responsibilities do elders have in the local church? We're going to look at passages that not only describe the leadership of the local church, but also passages that prescribe to those leaders what they are to do and what they are responsible for and for whom they are responsible. Fourth, in this series, we need to look also at what Scripture says about the process of church discipline. You know, Josh Harris was reading this to the family as we drove in this morning. He lists 10 reasons, 10 things you need to look for in a local church. One of the things he says is, don't ever join a church that won't kick you out. And that's right. If a church won't practice church discipline when it's necessary, then it's not a biblical church. So we need to understand that. We need to understand the whole process, what happens when a member of a church falls into sin for which they are not repentant. How do we deal with that individual in a loving way such that he or she is restored to fellowship in the church? When does it become necessary to remove that person from the church if he or she refuses to repent? Why do we do that, and how do we do that, and what's the purpose of that? So that's Matthew 18, and we'll talk about that in this series. Well, that's a quick overview, and I'm just about done. But something else, I want to come back a minute to the topic of the importance of membership. I'm very aware of this. The thing about teaching about membership in local church is that no place in Scripture is there a verse that states, thou shalt join a local church, right? You just can't find it. I wish you could, because then I could just preach that to you. But you can't. And I mention that just because there are some people, not in this church that I know of, but there are some people who make a big deal out of that, the absence of that statement in Scripture. In other words, they say things like this. Look, there's no verse that specifically and expressly says, I must become a member of a local church body. I've known people like this from previous churches that I've attended, and sometimes they have this strongly set in their minds. These people sometimes claim that church membership isn't biblical, and they even accuse the leadership of saying that we're trying to teach the traditions of men. You just want to count us. You just want to count us on the membership rolls. It's just a tradition of men. And they even grow almost angry when church leadership insists that church membership is biblical. Let me just say this to you. It is biblical. And an argument against local church membership simply because there's not a verse that commands it is a weak argument at best. So let me just give you some things to consider. Just a few things to consider that strongly suggest from the New Testament that membership was considered very important in the New Testament church. Consider these things. First of all, if you feel that way, just go home and read the epistles today. Read through them. Just read through them. I think if you generally read the epistles, you understand that membership was happening in the local churches in New Testament times. But consider these things. We have New Testament epistles written to whom? Do we have New Testament epistles written to Joe out in the middle of nowhere who's a lone wolf? Joe, get your act together. No, they're always written to a local church body. And they're written to local churches where they would be read before the whole assembly. We can We consistently read of local congregations and in the apostles writing to exhort and encourage the local church or the local churches in a geographic area. You read through the epistles and there's this consistent call to unity in the body of the local church. You get a clear picture from the New Testament that the apostles didn't expect the believers to be running around as lone wolves, but they would be members of local churches. Even when we do have letters in the New Testament written to individuals, like Titus and Timothy and Philemon, they're not lone wolves isolated from a local body, not at all. Instead, they're individuals in key leadership roles in what? In the local church. And notice something else. Notice the commands given to elders of local churches. This is powerful. For example, Acts 20, verse 28, where Paul's addressing the Ephesian elders. He says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Be on guard for the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, I can't help but to read that, and absolutely that sounds that there's a clearly identifiable group that those men knew that they were to shepherd. There's a clearly identifiable group who had committed to be members of the flock, not a group that the elders had to wonder, are they members or not? Listen to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 17. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." Does that mean that elders are expected to be responsible for those even they don't know who are members of the flock? Does that mean elders will give an account for those whom it is perhaps uncertain as to whether or not they're in the flock or not? Really? Doesn't it seem more likely that the intent there and the fairness to the elders is that there was a clearly identifiable membership? And these responsibilities given to elders require that there be a distinguishable, mutually understood membership in the local church, because how can the elders shepherd a people and give an account to God for their spiritual well-being if the elders don't even know who they are? Elders have to be able to identify the members allotted to their care for the purpose of providing proper oversight. That implies an identifiable church membership, best done through a formal commitment of membership so that there are no misunderstandings. I just point those examples out to you to make this point. As you consider the New Testament data, I believe it becomes obvious that God's Word lays forth a very clear basis and necessity for local church membership. Formal local church, identifiable church membership. And I trust that you'll see this over and over again as we go through this series. I'm not going to bring it up over and over again. I just think you're going to see it as we go through these passages. It's implicit. And frankly, when you weigh all the evidence, the New Testament descriptions of the local church and the prescriptions for the local church, They so clearly assume and imply the necessity of identifiable members that the argument against membership, simply because there's no one verse that directly commands it, that argument becomes an untenable argument from silence. It's an argument that doesn't hold water. You can tell I'm a little passionate about the local church, and I'm passionate about you all understanding that membership is important. Not to get you on the rolls, but I want you to understand that each one of you as a member has a role to play in the church. You're certainly not just here to hear me preach and then leave. You're not just here to hear Chuck and Bruce play the guitar and worship and hear me preach and leave. You're certainly not here to hear Trey on Wednesday nights and then me on Sunday mornings and Chuck and Bruce and play the guitars on Sunday mornings and leave. There's more to the local church. And you have to plug in and you have to serve one another. And I don't mean just sweeping up after church. I mean loving one another. I mean doing things behind the scene that the elders don't even see. I mean calling people who need your calls through the week, encouraging the body. I mean exhorting one another. I mean praying for one another. I mean building each other up, exhorting one another, jumping on each other once in a while, asking where they are in the Bible. What are they reading? Local church is an important thing, and if you don't take it seriously, you'll stymie your spiritual growth. Well, we'll stop there, and we'll come back. And know my heart, I don't mean to be jumping on anyone. I don't mean to be singling anyone out, but we just need to take this so seriously, and I want to set the tone for this. And we'll come back next week, and we'll look at Ephesians 4. And I think Ephesians 4, you can look at it this week and maybe read it on your own. Read Ephesians 4, the first 21 verses or so. And I think that passage that we look at this morning will drive this into your heart, the passage that we'll look at next week and maybe the following week. You'll understand the importance of the local church in edifying the saints so that they will then go out and do the work of the ministry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the local church. We thank you for Christ. We want to be obedient to Scripture. We want to take the local church very seriously because Christ purchased us with his blood. Father, we pray that you'd help us to do that. We pray that you would use us here in this community to do the work of the ministry. Father, I pray that you do the work of the ministry in each of us, and I pray that then we would go out and do the work of the ministry. Father, I pray that you would equip us here, so equip us that we go out and we speak the truth in love, as Paul says in Ephesians 4. I pray that you'd help us do these things. In Christ's name, amen.